My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
Crestview, our newly elected and appointed men's coordinator for Section 1. Give Brother Grady a hand. And his evangelist from Brother Cunningham's church in Virginia, Brother Luke. Is that? Brother Luke. I'll just call you Brother Luke. Sir Luke. Good to have you with us tonight. God bless you. Appreciate you very much. Luke chapter 4 and verse 25, a very unusual statement that Jesus made to the Pharisees, and especially to his hometown in Nazareth, and it just infuriated him when he made it. I mean, it messed him up. It just literally infuriated him to the point where they were going to kill him, throw him off of a cliff. I guess that meant they were going to kill him. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but none of them was Elias sent to, but to the city of Sidon unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel at the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed save Naaman the Syrian. And that made him mad. Now, all of the commentators that I've read concerning this text, they got it wrong because they believe that Jesus was talking about unconditional election of grace, that God selected them without any criteria being met to send them to the widow and to Naaman. And yet when you read the stories, that's just not true. As a matter of fact, God had to position them, correct them, mold them so that he could show them grace. There had to be certain principles, lines, and precepts obeyed and followed in order for that grace to be given to them. The key is, and what made him so mad was not that he was trying to, as the commentators say, you know, they're hundreds and thousands of years after Jesus lived, and they're the ones that are trying to impute that kind of concept to these texts, and they're trying to say that what made them so mad is that he was talking about unconditional election of grace, and that's not it at all. He was saying that these Gentiles had more sense than you do, because they knew how to apply and leverage the rules of grace so they could experience God's best. And it just is so evident in their lives as you study the stories. It's just a masterpiece of understanding how you too can either miss or experience God's grace in your life. Is God's grace free? Will he do it for a Naaman, or will he do it for anyone in this building? Absolutely. I believe in the grace of God, but I still believe that you have to apply certain principles and you have to live certain precepts. And even if he has to correct you and get you in alignment with it, he has to keep moving you into position to where, in when you're aligned to it, grace flows. I don't know about you, but I need grace. Are all of you just absolutely perfectly wonderful people that never make a mistake, or does somebody need grace in the house, if nothing more, to restore your joy and to give you the power to overcome? So I want to talk to you about the rules of grace. And God is able to do the same thing in your life. So I want you to put your iPhones and iPads and Bibles and all of that business down, and I want you to connect with one another in the Spirit, and I want you to just begin to pray, Lord, align me. Put me in the divine order so that I can operate in the Spirit, so that I can receive the grace of God, because I cannot be saved and I cannot be strengthened and I cannot be helped without grace. If you're being bothered by depression, then God is going to align you with His purpose so that grace can flow to you and you can be liberated from that depression, so you can be lifted from that. Oh, Rabayasiyana. Kaya Rabashata Bahoria. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God bless you. You may be seated. So why was Naaman the exception? As I told you, most commentaries will tell you it's God's sovereign election of grace. Or did Naaman, by some act of faith or obedience, position himself by following the rules of grace? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 tells us that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, and a peculiar people. I believe we have been purposed to be peculiar, intended to be exceptional, and designed to be different. And it's hard to stand out when you're trying to fit in. Figured out yet, but I'm not trying to be a denominational church. I don't want us to be a denominational church. And you can list any name you want to on that list. I want to be a true Jesus name, Holy Ghost, holiness living, preaching truth, word, church. Acts 2:38, apostolic doctrine from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. Who wants to be in the church? But in our text, we read from Luke chapter 4, and we find this man by the name of Naaman, that there were many lepers, but Elisha wasn't sent to any of them, but to this one particular Naaman. But really, when you read the story, it wasn't really Elisha being sent to Naaman. It was Naaman seeking Elisha. He was seeking for healing. Leprosy of that day was a plague, a prevailing sickness. It was the cancer of the Old Testament culture. It was untreatable and it was incurable. Yet the Bible says that in those days there were many men who were lepers throughout all of Israel, but only Naaman was healed. He was the exception. And I want you to be the exception. Now, God may pass up everybody in this building, but find you in alignment with His word, and that grace be unleashed and be administered to you in this service here tonight. And I'm not going to let Him pass me by. That's one of the things that I think you need to realize is one of those rules of grace. When you say, listen, I'm not leaving here till I get healed of my depression, my cancer, my situation, my circumstance. When you get that kind of determination and desperation, the enemy has no choice but to back up and back off. I'll clap my hands, devil, and bless the Lord with all of my soul, mind, and strength. No matter if I go down tonight, I'm going to still praise the Lord. I just want to know, is there anybody willing to be the exception? Are you waiting on something to move on you? I want to know, is anybody in the house in need of grace? Now, I admit that Naaman applied these rules of grace unknowingly because he didn't have the rich history of the Jewish people. He wasn't taught by the rabbis. He wasn't taught in synagogue. He didn't know how to apply these rules, but yet he unwittingly established in his life a position of faith, and God blessed him with a healing. He surrounded himself with people that did have enough sense to talk him into doing the right thing. Very few people are ever going to experience grace if you've got the wrong people talking up in your life. I can tell you that right now. That's pretty much a rule. Turn to somebody and say, that's a pretty good rule right there. If you're listening to every fool on this planet that says it can't be done and you can't overcome and you'll never be forgiven and you're too messed up, those are lying voices and spirits. And as long as you're listening to them, you will never be the exception. You will be just like everybody else. You're going to go down the wrong path. But I hear another voice. I hear another voice. I hear another voice. Does anybody hear the voice, or I'm the only one that's gone nuts in the house? Y'all need to put him back on his medication. He's hearing voices. I hear the faith that if we'll worship, God's glory will manifest. I hear the word that if we will pray and believe, that God will give us the greatest revival we've ever had. I still hear the right voice, and you got to surround yourself with people that will speak that voice into your life. But Naaman had to hear before he could be healed. A message had to be spoken. And even though he did not respond to the message in faith, he just responded out of desperation. And here's a rule of grace. Desperation in God's eyes is equal to faith. When you get desperate, you say, well, I don't have any faith, but are you desperate? Because I don't believe Naaman believed, because there's no precedent that God would heal a leper. There was no precedent. There was, however, in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, there was a way to restore a leper back to the colony once they were cured and they were healed. But it did not give any means to heal them. It's just if they were healed and they were pronounced cleansed, they could go through a process to be re-entered into the colony and into the community. But there was no precedent of a leper ever being healed in the Old Testament until Naaman. So there was no faith in the message, yet he acted on a message. And some of you are waiting for your faith to blah, 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 get high enough on the little Richter scale so that you feel the earthquake of emotion. And what you need to realize is that's not faith anyway. But when you're so desperate and you don't know what else to do, and you turn, I feel something. And all you know to do is say, I'm going to hold on until you bless me. I would to God that apostolic people would get so desperate. Quit trying to be the great faith person. And just get desperate enough to say, if I got to shout, I'll do it. If I got to run, I got to have my victory. I am not going to sit here and die without at least trying something. I got to try something, church. Souls are going to hell in a handbasket. America's going to hell in a handbasket. I want to know, does anybody want to try to stand up and stop it? Now, let me just set this thing up for you, because this is a unique story. It really is. If you go back and read the story, it's just fascinating to me, because I want you to hear where the message comes from, because the message don't come from the prophet. That's not where he acted on the message. He didn't act on the prophet's message, because the prophet didn't send him a message. The prophet didn't even know he wanted to be healed. As a matter of fact, Naaman didn't know he could get healed. Naaman didn't have a clue until his handmaiden that was a captive out of the land of Israel told him, I would to God that my master was with the prophet in Israel. He'd heal you of your leprosy. Woo! I feel it, my God. I wish somebody would get that kind of attitude. Now, she could have had an attitude because she was a captive. Now, let's understand, she was a slave. And most likely her family was killed in a raid that either he as the captain and the general of the army conducted against an Israeli encampment or somebody else in his employ and under his command did it, being his wife. Talking about the prophet in it. Of us would have been so big in the message prophet that hit him. Whoa. Bible's more important. I believe in grace when you power. Just because I'm being dragged through the mud, Jesus Christ can raise me through. At Walmart, if you went to Target, you're mad. You go to Chick-fil-A, you're mad. I don't know how you can be mad at Krispy Kreme, but you are. You could go to the Milton Bakery and still be mad. Huh? Whoa. That's getting close to home. No wonder you want to throw me off the cliff. Huh? But I don't care if you're mad at the ever-loving world. Start telling this message. Oh, you can't get saved down at that church because so-and-so goes. That's nonsense. The message is more powerful than anybody that attends this church. I didn't hear you. I said, the truth is more powerful than anything that moves on this planet. If Jesus can rise from the dead, woo, on the third day after being dead for 3 days, I'm telling you, he can resurrect your life. He can fix your problem. He can deliver you from your sin. Everybody here goes through junk, but it don't cancel out the message. The gospel is still the gospel, and the name of Jesus is still the name of Jesus, and it still has power to remit sins if you'll put them down in water and obey the rule of grace. Hallelujah. Don't let the negatives of your life rob you of becoming the exception. And allowing God to work in your life. Because everybody here's got negatives. Everybody here's got things that are messing you up. Everybody here has got things that have happened. But if you will do what this little girl did. Now, just think about it. Naaman, you know, you would think that Naaman would say, you got to bring me a televangelist. He's a general in the Syrian army. I need a big name preacher to come talk. It's got to be Lee Stone King or it ain't from God. I'm talking about the rules of grace. You got to get your hero complex under control. Because that's nothing but stinking idolatry. And Brother Stone King or anybody else will tell you the same thing that's got the true Holy Ghost and the goods. Because it don't have to be from them to be from God. But that little handmaid who was a captive, he listened to her message. And he said, you know what? I don't have anything to lose. So I might as well go check it out. You ought to come down to this old Pentecostal church. And you ought to walk up here to that Pentecostal altar. Well, I don't think all this noise is necessary. Why don't you come up here and try to make a little noise yourself? Well, I don't think clapping my hands. Well, if you want to stay in your depression, then by all means, don't apply the rule. But I say, if you want to make a little noise, well, what's the rule? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you people, and clap your hands. Shout with the voice of triumph. That's a rule of grace. When I'm down and I don't know what else to do, I still believe in the power of the message. Brendan Mears, several months ago, probably been 2 years ago. So how old is Brendan now? 15, or he's 13 then, or 12 maybe even. He was younger perhaps, maybe it was 3 years ago, and I wasn't feeling good. I was up here in the altar praying. You didn't know it, but I just wasn't feeling good at all. And he came up to me. He said, Brother Kinsey, I feel led of the Holy Ghost to pray for you. Well, it's not Lee Stone King. It's not T.F. Tenney. I don't need to be prayed for by Lee Stone King. I mean, please don't misunderstand me. If Brother Stone King wants to pray for me, he called me on the phone the other day and prayed for me. The brother, turn him loose. Hallelujah. Turn him loose. I'm not going to deny that. But you know what I did? I sat down on that step right there. I said, okay, Brendan, where are you, Brendan? Right there. And then I sat down on that step, and he laid his hands on my head and prayed for me. And when I got up, I was completely well. Why? Because the message is still good. If it comes from Brendan or Lee or whoever, it's still good. There's still power in the message. I'm not going to let the injustices that happen to me, I'm not going to let the bitterness that happens in my life to keep me from the grace of God. I'm going to hear the message because the message has power. I said the name of Jesus has power. If you can speak the name, you can defeat the devil in this house. Somebody call on that one true name, the only name by which any of us can be saved. There's power. Hallelujah. Here's a rule of grace. It matters who you let speak into your life. It matters. Hallelujah. So you got to be careful with that, because even Naaman understood that principle. Now here's how messed up Israel was when Naaman came. He said, I hear there's a prophet in Israel that can cure me of my leprosy. Well, he thought it was a political maneuver of the Syrians to create an occasion against Israel so they could attack and justify the attack. That's how messed up they were. As a matter of fact, the king didn't even send a message to the prophet. I don't know how the prophet found out about it. But the prophet found out about it and sent a message back to them and said, send him to me. We're going to take care of this. But I love the story because this is Pentecost in a picture. I love the story because you see, Naaman, when he went to the prophet's house, he was anticipating, according to the text. I'm just following the storyline. You read it, it's there in the storyline. I mean, he expected the prophet to come out and wave his hand over him. Isn't that what he said? He said, I got to have that hand wave on me. That's what he said. That's the Old Testament. I mean, this Gentile brother didn't have enough sense to come in up out the rain. And yet he said, I don't understand this. I am the general of the Syrian army. And he didn't even have the courtesy to come out and talk to me. That's like me sending Brendan to pray for you. Now, I'm just explaining to you why you're not getting healed. Because you're trusting in the messenger and not in the man. I'm talking about the roof. Grace don't run on the rails of a name preacher or an idol god. It runs on one thing, friend, and that's the power of the blood and the power of the name and the power of the word. That's like me calling up Jamie and saying, Jamie, I can't make it to the hospital. They're dying with cancer. I want you to take Brendan over there, and I want you to have him pray for him. And then when he walks in the door, some of you would be so offended you would not speak to me for 6 months. Now you're knowing why you're still in the hospital and can't get out. I'm just explaining to you the rules of grace. Y'all thought it was going to be a sweet little message, but I'm telling you the truth. And I'm telling you, there's enough power in that boy's prayer, if it's done in the name of Jesus, to heal you of everything. My God, I feel a revival about to break out. When you get this rule, when you understand what I'm preaching, I'm not trying to get out of work. I'm trying to get you to understand. God doesn't operate off of our hero system. He operates off the word of the living God. And there's power in this book. Hallelujah. Now, I promise you that even if you have never heard of God doing something a certain way ever before in your life for anybody, there doesn't have to be a precedent for it in order for God to work. You know, I've never heard God do that before, so I don't know if that was God. I've never heard that before. Huh? And this is an unprecedented deal. And I'm so glad Elisha heard about it and told the reprobate Naaman to come to his house. And it's just a delight to me. I don't know, but I just think it's so cool that Elisha sent his servant to the door. Ow! I think it's wonderful. I mean, that just thrills my soul. And he said, yeah, just go to Jordan, dip 7 times. When you come up the 7th time, you'll be healed. Okay, bye. Close the door. Walk back in. He was mad as a hornet. I mean, the Bible was honest. He was so mad, he was in a full-blown rage. So it's not an unconditional election of grace that caused him to experience healing, because he was on his way back to Damascus. I mean, and he wasn't driving, just he was inferior. He was so mad he could bite nails. If they had nails back then, he would have bit them in two. Far, par, and a bonner, much better. I ain't washing in no muddy river of Jordan. Huh? He was mad. I mean, I don't know how to explain to you he was mad. He was just mad. He was headed back to Damascus, and the servant said, Master, don't kill me. You have to understand that these servants were in his power, and he could murder them right there, leave them on the side of the road, and not one person back in Damascus would ask him anything about it, because they were his property and he had the right to do whatever he wanted to with them. Now, I know we don't understand that in our culture, but in that culture, he could have killed them instantly. So when they stood up against him and said, now, Master, don't chop my head off. Literally. Don't kill me. But if he would have asked you to do some great thing, that's what's wrong with you. You always want God to do some great thing. That's why you can't get healed. That's why you can't get grace, is because God's may not wants to do the great thing. It might be that the rails of this train run on an ungreat thing. Said, so why don't you just go do that? Just try it. I mean, I don't know. We don't know. Don't kill us. We love you. You're our master. We're your servants. Oh, my. We're your servants. Don't kill us. But I tell you what, why don't we just go? And so they did. And Naaman went. And he would go down once, twice, 3 times. Keep going, master. That's only 3. He said 7 times. But at least he did it. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you can be corrected by somebody you perceive to be lesser than you? How many of you can be instructed by somebody that you perceive to be lesser? Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Woo! Hallelujah! Can you take your grandchildren when you're on your way taking them to school, when you say the wrong thing and they've been taught in school it's the wrong way to say it, and they stop you and say, "Oh, you're not supposed to say that, Papa." How many of you keep on saying it because you're ignorant? I don't. If I'm corrected by somebody, if I'm corrected, I stand to be corrected. Oh, I wish y'all would listen to me here tonight, because you need to learn how to let God align you, because the only way you're going to get grace is to let God correct you. Because you don't know as much as you think you know. And you're not as powerful as you think you are. And you're not as far down the road as you think you are. I still need these young people. I still need the kids. I still need your voice. If you've got any kind of sense at all, I still need your love. Yes, I do. I said, I need people in my life. Amen. And his servants came near, meaning they came near with fear, and spake unto him and said, "My father." They called him daddy, daddy. They didn't even call him general and master. They said, "My father." That means they were really working this brother. Huh? They were working the brother. "If the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? And how much rather than when he said, just go wash and be clean?" And so we surround ourselves with these bobble-headed friends. You ever had one of them bobble-headed little things? Every time you move, and that's what we've got around us. I thank God for somebody that's got a little courage to stand up and say, "No, you're not supposed to say that." He didn't ask for their input. He was in the middle of a tirade and a rage. Not the best time to tell anybody anything, but he had enough sense. If I've come this far, I might as well go the rest of the way. God, give me some courageous friends in my life, and let me surround myself with voices that speak the word of the Lord. And I know there's unmet expectations, and some of you thought God should do it this way and he's done it another way, but I don't care how God does it as long as it's God. I said, I don't care how God does it as long as it's God. He said, "I won't even call on the name of the Lord his God, strike his hand over the place and recover the leprosy." But he said, "I think I'll just go ahead and I'll do what I'm supposed to do." And if you can learn to do what you're supposed to do, God will do what only he can do. But you know what that means? Y'all going to throw me off the cliff for sure now. You're going to have to lay down your pride. You're going to have to lay down your pride. And so let me just give you one little step here of the rule of grace in today's society. Are you ready? For correction. Okay? Here it is. Get off of social media and quit spilling out your negative feelings. I got one over here and one over there, and that's about all I got. Come on, everybody knows what you messed up over everything. We already know all of that. Get off of, you're not going to get grace. The train of grace does not run on rails of negativity. It runs on rails of faith and desperation. Second thing, you need correction. Watch what you entertain yourself with. Well, I got less of a response. Go ahead, keep standing. That's all I got right there. Go ahead, Matt, stay standing. Don't sit down yet. He's clapping and he don't know what to do. I'm telling you right now, it's time for correction. Quit getting around your little buddies and talking about every dumb negative thing in your life. Well, I'm not very popular. I know you want to throw me off the cliff, but you need to start speaking some faith in this house and saying, I'm not going to allow myself to be succumbed by the spirit of this age. Hallelujah. Husbands, quit talking down to your wife. Wives, quit talking down to your husbands. Start speaking some faith in their life. Quit feeding off of one another's negativity. Well, I know you just love me tonight. Yeah, you say, oh, we want the word of God. Yeah, until I start preaching it. And then it's like it's the new thing among preachers today. I want a pastor. I want a pastor. And then they want you to pastor them until you tell them something they don't want to hear. Then they don't want no pastor no more. That's the reason. Amen. Huh? I'm just telling you what you don't want to hear. I know you don't want to hear it because you think that you have a right to express those feelings. But what I'm trying to get you to see is that the rule of grace is you can't do that. And you need somebody to step up into your life that's got the courage and say, quit doing that. Start speaking faith to one another. It's like I told you this Wednesday night, I was getting a cold and I was telling my wife and I was wanting some sympathy, really. I said, man, I'm getting a cold and I was wanting her to, oh, poor baby. And that's why she normally responds, but she didn't respond that way at that moment. She just said, don't accept that and rebuke it in Jesus' name. Well, okay. If that's the way you're going to be about it. Guess what I did? I rebuked it and I didn't accept it and the cold left me. I'd rather get healed than have pride. Come on, I wish somebody, I'm going to have to shout on my own sermon. Amen. Come on, church. I want to see you be the exception. I want grace to come into your life. I want God to lift you up, stand to your feet. I want you to receive this. I want you to be delivered. I want you to be blessed. So husbands, you go home to your wife and you apologize for all the negative things you've said and kiss on her and love on her and say, I'm going to speak faith from now on. Wives, you do the same. Oh, you're not going to do it? Okay. You're not happy about that. All right. Say, well, I just can't stay off that social media. Well, then disconnect from it. You don't need that mess in your life. You got a cell phone. That's got you in more trouble than anything. But I just want you to be saved. I want grace to come into your life because none of us can be saved without grace and none of us are perfect. We all get negative and get overwhelmed by circumstances. I'm not saying there are seasons and times when you don't wrestle and struggle with things. We all do. But I'm just telling you to respond correctly to them and you'll come out of your crisis faster and quicker and you'll bring more glory and honor to Jesus and you'll certainly be a lot happier individual and more at peace with yourself and with God. And that's what I want for you. I don't want to control your life and tell you how to think and feel. I just want the Word of God to rule in your spirit and grace to be given to you. But don't think for a moment that the commentaries are right, for they are not. They are not right. That's not unconditional election of grace. That's grace, yes, but not unconditional. Yes, he applied the rules of grace. He didn't know what he was doing. He was just following the message of a little kid that they picked up along this highway that got her family killed, brought her into captivity. And she just spoke a message. And out of desperation, not even out of faith. But by the time he got to the prophet, he had enough faith for the prophet to come wave his hand over him. But when he didn't do it, and his expectations weren't met, he went away in a rage. And how many times have you gotten mad, listen to me, about dumb stuff that don't amount to a hill of beans? And then you wonder why your train doesn't run on the rails of grace. But at least he heard the message from his servants. Daddy, now come on. You know, baby. You know if he'd have asked you to do some great thing, you'd have did it. You know. But if he asked you to do some little simple thing like go wash and be clean, why don't you just go try it, Daddy? Come on, baby. Come on, Daddy. Don't kill us. And he did it. He stood to be corrected. Wow. Oh, yes. That's not unconditional election of grace. That was applying and leveraging the rules of grace. See, that's an oxymoron. No, it's not, because God has always had lines in his kingdom and precepts. It's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Kingdom of grace is set up the same way. It's not works, salvation by works. It's simply applying truth to your life in obedience to the Word of God. It's necessary, and you can't violate them or you won't experience the work of God. And that's what he was telling them. That's what made a man. That made a man. Is that you know better and you don't apply the rule of grace. He didn't have any enough sense, but he listened and he applied the rules of grace and he was healed and nobody else was. Amen. That's the way it goes. But I feel it in my spirit tonight. I just feel like there's a chain that's been wrapped around some of you that is just choking the life out of you right now. I can feel that chain tightening as even I speak. And you can sense it. You don't feel liberty. You feel, I don't know what exactly, whether it's guilt or shame or something that's holding you captive. It might just be a spirit of depression or just might be a spirit of discouragement. But that chain is just like you can't even breathe and you can't even worship and you can't enjoy anything in life. Even though God's been good and you recognize it, still can't enjoy anything. You don't have no liberty or life. God's going to free you tonight. Lift your hand if that's you. 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 Right now, right now. I'm telling you, I felt that chain coming around me. And then I rebuked it in Jesus' name. It woke me up last night and I had to fight it off and I didn't know what it was. And it was because I was going to preach this word and this message to you tonight. You need this message in your life and you need to apply it and you need to live by it. And if this is you, I want you to step out by faith. I just feel like I need to pray for you. Just step out by faith. I'm not trying to embarrass you or mess you up. I just want you to be free of it. I want you to step out by faith, because I'm not going to let you leave this place and be held captive by that chain choking you when it is not God's will. Now step out. I know it's difficult, but step out by faith and come on up here, because God's going to free you. You're good right there, right there, right there. Just stay right there. You're good. You're good. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You're good. Just stay right there. Amen. Sister Brown, catch her right there. Come on. Some of these kids that you see up here are living in circumstances that are very difficult. And they need the help of the Lord and they need your faith. You may not be living in a perfect situation yourself, but you've got faith. You've got a message. You know what Jesus did for you. You can tell them. You can stand on the truth. Come on. all over this house. I don't want you to walk away without this blessing and liberty that my Jesus has promised you. You're not a bad person because this has happened in your life. You're not evil and messed up.
We hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.